Okay, we continue the Rambam Hilchos Avodin Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet, Chapter 7, Law 4. We're talking about the way a get shichrur works for an Eved Kanani. And we already listed a number of important rules. There has to be a complete breakaway. The get, the document, has to break the relationship. And we gave some other rules, and we're going to apply this in certain other ways now in Halacha, Halacha Dalet. Hamishachrer chatzi avdo b'shtar. What if the fellow only wants to free half of his servant?
Which half?
Any half he wants. Okay? He says, I'll give half of you freedom. You can own half yourself, and I'm going to own the other half. So the answer is, lo kona ha'eved chetzio. The eved doesn't even get his half. Verehu eved kishahayu. He's like a servant like he was beforehand. Now, it's very important. We're saying it's with a shtar. Remember we said the comparison between the shtar shichrur and the shtar of a get is it must be a complete severance. And when you're only freeing half the guy, it's imagine a man writing a get to his wife. You're half divorced from me. Like 3 days a week, you'll be on your own, and 3 days you're with me. It doesn't go. Got to be complete severance. Same thing with the servant as well. That's only if you're
star.
If you're freeing him with a shtar.
Kesef.
But what if avolim shichrur chetzu with kesef? You emancipate half of him through a sale, where you say, listen, you can buy yourself off out for half, so to speak. You go in shaloka chatzi dama, if he took half the money, al manasa shachar chesu, to free half of himself. Kana, he does acquire half his freedom. V'nimtza, now will come out, chetzio evid, half of him is a servant to the old master, v'chetzio v'charm, half is free. But that is because it's not a shtar. It's only with kesef, and only shtar is compared to a get. What do you mean practical? What do you mean? What's big practical?
If you're half
what?
He wants to know if you're half free through kesef. What difference is
it? It means 3 days of work, you work for yourself, and you don't have a boss for 3 days.
I thought by paying up, you actually get out earlier as opposed
that,
to...
No, that doesn't work by that. That's only an Eved Ivri. We're talking about a Canaanite slave. However, we still got a little bit more to discuss. When does freeing him half does not work? Only in one situation. But Med Vermin, when do we say that freeing half of him through a shtar doesn't help? When you free half of him through a document, but Vini Chetzo, he's still holding back half for himself. But in the following case, it will work. What if he first freed half, and at the same time, umachar chatzio, and sold half. In other words, so a half is sold, which is always works to sell, and once you combine the two halves, it makes a complete sale, so then that even the half selling through get becomes a complete sale at the end of the day. He frees half of him and gives him half as a gift. Since at the end of the day, he goes completely free, so therefore, kona eved chetzio, the eved acquires his half. For he's a chetzio eved v'chetzio v'encharen. So it's like a case of half of a servant and half of a free man. Okay, in other words, he sold half of him or gave half of him before he freed the other half. In other words, you got to get half of it out before you're writing the document on the other half, because then he's not leaving anything for himself. That's what has to be, or it won't work out. Okay, all right.
Even though the slave doesn't get his full freedom.
He will. He already has half the freedom. Then he gets the second half. He gets in the second half. Let's say a servant of two partners. Each one owns half. Let's say one of them frees his half. Either bein bekesef with money or b'shtar with a shtar. So guess what? The servant gets his half. How are you going to say, but he's not fully released? But he's fully released from that half-owner. That half-owner has something to do with him. For Yechetzi, Yechetzi, now you have a situation of a half-servant and a half-free man, and that's how you come up with that case. Okay, now we're going to try to apply a similar notion regarding a Canaanite slave woman who's pregnant. And if you're not giving the entire woman a freedom, what will happen? So it depends which part you're freeing and which part you're not freeing. You got two parts, the woman and the fetus. So now which part are you freeing will make a big difference. Hakaisev Lishiv Chasum Uberis, the guy writes an emancipation document to a pregnant woman. But look what he writes in it. Hare at Baschor, you are completely free. However, but your fetus is evident. I'm still holding back for myself. Guess what? It's good. Everything is absolutely fine. The woman goes free and the baby is a slave. And that's not considered emancipating only half the servant because the baby is something else. In other words, she is fully redeemed. The baby is a different entity and is fully not redeemed. Even though we have a rule that uber yerech imo, that a fetus is an extension of the mother, but we don't say the reverse. We don't say that a mother is an extension of a fetus. And therefore, the mother is completely free, and the fetus is not, but it's a separate entity. But what about the reverse? How about Hare At Shifre says, you, madam, you're going to be my slave. Uvladech, but your child ben chorim, but your child goes free. That isn't going to work. Lomer lochum, it's nothing. That's like freeing half a person, because the child is connected to the mother. The child's connected to the mother. The mother's not connected to the child. And therefore, nothing comes out of that.
So similarly, if he half frees the shivcha and she gets pregnant, the baby is half his?
I guess so.
What is it? Is she pregnant after it was freed?
After she's half freed.
Then it could be. Okay, halacha vav, we're dealing with the famous case of shivcha charufa. What's a shivcha charufa? We'll explain again. A shivcha charufa is a woman who is half free and half slave. Now, and then what happens? An Eved Ivri in her state gives her a kiddush. That's a shivcha charufa. So now we got a very interesting situation over here, because the Eved Ivri, if you think about it, is he permitted to this shivcha charufa? Well, absolutely he is. There's no reason why he can't be with the shivcha charufa. Because let's look at the two halves. An Eved Ivri can be connected to the free part of the lady, for sure. And even the part that's not free, an Eved Ivri can live with a shivcha knanis. So that's okay. But the question is, what can happen regarding freedom? But that's the case of shivcha charufa. So now, im rotza l'shachrer chetzya, if the owner wants the free half, hanisha that remains, v'teyasa isha gemura, and now she'll be his wife totally to the man who married her, the Eved Ivri, hareza mishachar, he can free her because he's not holding anything back. All he had was the half, and this would be a very good way for her to be completely married to this man. She's allowed to do this. Bein bekesef bein shtar. Doesn't matter if he does it through money or through a shtar. Shafa kesef gomer shichur. Because even money will cause her to be free, and then she'll be a complete ashes ish to this Eved Ivri. Okay, vav. Now we have a most interesting case. Mi shechetzio Eved vechetzio ben chori. Now we're talking about an Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani is in a state of half free, half slave. He was owned by two partners. One freed his half, one didn't. Now, that situation is an untenable situation and cannot remain in that state at all. Why? Hoyuvena mutter, because this guy who's half free, half not, he can't live with any woman, as we'll explain. Hoyuvena mutter lo b'shivcha. He can't marry a shivcha. Why can't he marry a shivcha knanis? Because half of him is free. Free man, not an Eved Ivri. A free man. A free man may not have relations with a shivcha knanis. Veloba Vascharin, and he can't marry a free woman because he's half slave Canaanite. Goy! So that guy's in a real bad shape. So what do we do when that happens? So when one partner frees, this is going to force the following. Kaifinus Rabu, we force the second master who hasn't freed him yet. Veososo Ben Charin, he becomes free. We force him to free the other half, but he doesn't have to lose his money. V'koisev Sharlov, he writes a document on it, b'chatzi dama, for half the money, and the Eved Kenani, who now is free, and now is a Jew, has a debt of half his worth to this master that was forced to sell him. Now, we're going to see why we have to sell him, but Medrim, when do we say this? Only be'Eved, only with an Eved Kenani, but now with a Shivcha Kenani, says we'll explain why. Because a man is commanded to be fruitful and multiply, at least the half, that's Jewish man. So he's half. Okay? That Jewish part is has a chiyuv, but he can't fulfill the chiyuv. Okay, that's why we force the other guy to let him go. But a shivcha, a woman is not obliged in the midst of puravu, and therefore, tishar kamoshi, she stays the way she is. So you're going to say, but she can't marry anybody. So what? It's not our problem. Valveda says, Rabbi Yomechet, she serves her master one day. Vesasma Yomechet, she serves herself one day. She's free one day. Now, she can't have relations with somebody on that one day because she's still considered half Kananis. So there's nobody she can be with. Because the only reason, understand the Chazal, that it wasn't this idea of, oh, they had Rachmanis and compassion. Who can they live with? Compassion in, compassion here. That's not the point. Is there halachic reason to free the person or not? All right? So now, there's no halachic reason after fear, unless the following. But if she's in that kind of a state, and then vimnogo bo hachotim, but if the sinners will treat her in a way, minik hefker, as if she's hefker, they're very, well, she doesn't have a man, she'll never have a man, so they're going to abuse her. If we see that it's going to come to abuse, then kaifin es rabba l'shachar, then we force the master to free her, he writes a star, she's free, and she owes him half her value for that. Okay, now, so let's say we have this situation. Well, let's say one guy freed his half, and now the other guy's clever. He figures, oh, now they're going to come tomorrow and force me. I don't want to go, so I'll get a way out of it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to gift my half to my son, who's a minor. Since my son's a minor, he can acquire, but he can't sell. So now, if my son will own half of this Eved, they can't force him to sell it, and I'm really the boss of the house anyway, so it's tantamount to a great loophole.
Like a birthday gift.
You think you could do this? We're going to see that we don't allow him to get around this, because we want that person to be able to have children. So Allah says, "Mi shechetsu Eved v'chetsu ben charim." So now we have a situation that's led us to. He's half free and he's half a servant. Now, Shavuot Rabbo, now the master who still owns half of him, he now gifts, or whatever, he makes a kinyan with his son who's a cotton. And why is he doing that? So the Bezin cannot force his son, who's not capable of selling anything. What do? We get around that issue. Mamid and Bezin cutting up a trappist. We appoint an apotropos for the cotton, even though the cotton has a father. We appoint an apotropos, the kaisiv la apotropos, the apotropos, who now does things on behalf of the child, get shichur, he writes it, get shichur, v'chotziv lo shtar, chov, v'chatzim, and they write a debt of owing to the young child, that he has to pay back half of his value. However, what if the kid really likes the servant? You know, it could be the kid, it was the servant, and the kid gets fondness to the servant, and he gets very, you know, palpitations and depressed and this. But if the child really needs, you know, Uncle Tom to keep helping him and everything, right? He has great longings for him. Then we exaggerate the price of the money. Why? Because the kid will know he's getting a lot of money. Because the kid's going to be happy with the money. Now, I'm not sure if we actually give him money or we just exaggerate the price. Not exactly sure. Maybe your commentary is a little better.
It says we give the child a small amount of money to play with, so he'll be willing to part with his life.
That's what Rashi says. Okay, whatever. So you find a way for him to willingly give it up. Okay, Tess. Shchiv Mara, how about a man on his deathbed? And he doesn't figure he's going to be living much longer, and he really had a very loyal servant, an Eved Kenani, and he has no other family, let's say. Shekosav kol nechosav lavdo. He says, I bequeath all my properties to my servant. So if he would indeed die, that servant would be free, would have all the property. But guess what happened? Va'amad, the Shkivmer had a miraculous recovery. So now what happens? Well, what would you figure? Well, the whole thing's bottled, because if he's a recovery, he wouldn't have mind. But it's not so. In terms of what? Choser banachos. Yes, the money comes back, because certainly, as a shkivmer, he gets his money back. But ve'ena choser, but he can't get the servant back. Why? Shayosel shemechon, because there already was a name out there that he was free, right? Even though it only helps after Misa, and there's no get shukr after Misa, but still the rabbi said the servant cannot go back, because so once you've already, it's already, everyone's talking about that this guy's going to be free. And that was certainly the intention of the master, that he should be freed now. So since Redhead is at a name of being free, we have to let him be free or can have all kinds of issues afterwards. Okay, with that we finish chapter 7, and now we're moving on to chapter 8. Okay. Chapter 8 is a long one. All right. Now we're going to talk about situations where the rabbis penalize a person for doing something wrong, and they penalize him to free his slave. There are only certain things you can do with a Canaanite slave, certain things you cannot. For example, you cannot sell a Canaanite slave to a goy. Can't do that, as we'll see why and what the problem is with that. You also cannot sell him out to go outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's another issue. You're not allowed to do that. Now, the reason why you can't sell a Canaanite slave to a goy is very simple. Canaanite slave is equated to a woman halachically in terms of his obligation in mitzvahs. So, for example, does a Canaanite slave have to keep Shabbos? Yes. Now, if you sell the Canaanite slave to a goy, he ain't going to be keeping Shabbos. So just like we said before, you can't sell an Eved Ivri, a Jewish person, cannot sell himself to a goy, right? But if he does, we have a mitzvah to get him out. Here it's a little bit different. We have a Jew who sold his Eved Kanani to a goy. So now the Bezin has the power to penalize this Jew for doing this, and we'll see what he has to do. It's going to really not be worth his while. And if you know this penalty's on the books, no one would ever do it. And that's going to be the first 5 halachas that maybe we could do before we go to the second area of where we sell them to chutzlars. But here is selling to a goy. Ha-moicher is avdu l'goyim. A person who sells his Canaanite slave to a goy, yotza ben charim. He goes totally free. Now, of course, he can't go totally free because you sold him to the goy. So we'll explain to him what you're going to do. So what do we do? Well, he sold him already. So what are we going to force the old master to do? The koifenes rabo, we're going to force the old master, lachser, to go back, veliknoso, and rebuy the slave, mina goyim, from the goy. But the goy might say, I don't want to sell. So ad asar, he has to pay really up to 10 times the price of that Eved Kanani. And then guess what he gets after all that? Because they've got you. Then he has to write a document of emancipation. And the slave goes free. So you sold, let's say he sold a slave for $100. If he's made $100, now he's going to have to pay $1,000.
Up to $1,000.
He'll lose $900 and he loses the slave. However, Vimlo Rutz, so that's a pretty good penalty, isn't it? That will keep a Jew from doing that. Vimlo Rutz, Agoy Lamachan, what if the Goy doesn't want to sell him Vishumov and Afiluba Server even 10 times the price? Then, Ein Machayev and Osei, we can't force him anymore. Now, why are we doing this? Uknase, and this is a Knas, Ein Govenaso, you don't collect it, Vidanaso, and judging it, Ella Bebezin Shalmumchin. It has to be a Bezin of people with Smicha. Since it's a Knas can only be done with people who have Smicha. Now, and since it's a knas, this is not going to be looked at as a debt that the man has, that his children, if they become inheritors, would have to pay off his debt. And therefore, let's say after the man sold the slave to a goy, and the man says, okay, you're going to have to buy him back, and then the man died, what obligations would be to his inheritors? None. If the guy who sold him, Ain konsnes ayirish, we don't penalize the inheritor lahachzor seva to rebuy the servant l'shachar the servant. Why? Because since it's a knas, you don't inherit knas. You can inherit a debt. If a guy father borrows money, you inherit the debt. But a knas is only a penalty. So what's the point? What did the kid do wrong? Do you have to penalize the kid? When you're talking about a debt, it's not a penalty. Is not real repayment of any. It's not what you call restitution. It's just a penalty. So if a guy borrows money, well, then there's a restitution issue. The kid, it has to make sure there's restitution. But if it's just a penalty, well, we don't penalize children because they didn't do anything wrong.
If the buyer dies, the slave goes free?
For sure he goes free.
Is he Jewish?
What?
Is he Jewish when he goes free?
Yeah.
That's the
law. It says here if he runs away also.
We're going to get to that. We're going to ask me the next halacha. That's going
to
be the next halacha. Yes. Okay. Yes. Let's go to base. Let's say now the guy borrows money and he uses his Eved Kanani as the collateral. He borrows from a goy and he used the Eved Kanani as the collateral. And guess what? He can't pay. And now he loses him as the collateral. Now what do we do? Lava alavdo min a goy. The guy borrowed money from a goy, and he used his servant as a collateral. So im kavalos man, if he established his time. Vamali says, migias man ploni, if the certain amount of time comes. V'loash, I don't pay you. Look carefully now. Tikna goof, Evid said. You acquired the body of my servant. You own my servant.
He goes out to freedom.
Then, hareza yetze lecheres miyad. He goes immediately free. Again, doesn't mean he goes immediately free. It means that now when the goy gets him on the collateral, the yid now has to buy back from the goy, and then has to let him go free, even up to 10 times that amount. Same thing. He had no right to collateralize your Evid Kanani and put him into that situation. But what if he says like this? My servant's a collateral, but not his body is collateral, but the amount of work you can get out of him is the collateral, but not the body. So now, Vimamali says, Tikne Masiyot, if you can acquire the collateral is the work that he could do for you, then Lo Yeskos, he doesn't go free because he didn't really give the servant to him, just the work, which is okay. Now, what if, let's say now, Gvo Goy Bechovo, let's say the guy had a debt, but he didn't write this collateral. Okay, so now the goy collects this unilaterally. Okay, there was no maskin. The goy just takes it. He says, "Well, I want my money. I don't have my money, so I'm going to take your slave." Oh, shabal adam mitzrim. Or let's say oppressors come to the master. Ubik shalahar, they want to kill him. Kill us or give us your slave. Okay, upar asam yeralav. He gives his slave. So in both situations, the owner really didn't want to give it away. He was in a situation where it kind of was forced, it was against his will. In that case, situation, does he think it's reasonable to penalize the guy? No. The servant does not go free. He was taken against the will of the master. And the master, there's no reason to give him any type of a fine. Gimel. Mocher avdo la'achad me'avdi amelech omigdolef. Let's say he sold his servant to the king, or one of the king's ministers. Not that his life was in danger, so to speak, but he was, you know, he always a little bit afraid of them, and you want to be on their good side. Even though he's afraid of them, and he did it, let's say, either to gift them or whatever, but he figured they want to have some financial benefit. The servant goes free, meaning to say he did the wrong thing. He has to buy him back from the king and then release him. You could have appeased the king of the ministers with other money. They don't bedafka. This is not a case where the bedafka wanted the servant. They just wanted money. And he could have picked other ways. Why did you pick him? The case before was speaking where they wanted the servant. There was no choice. So therefore, he would be penalized.
It's a Jewish king, right?
Doesn't have to be. No, not a Jewish king.
We're talking about within Jewish rule.
No, if you sell him to a Jewish king, there's no problem. The problem is it's a Goyish king.
Is a Goyish king within borders of Israel?
It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, these halachas are even if we don't have a base of Migdash, what about when the Romans were in charge of us? All right, so those things happen as well. Dalit. What?
With the Masiyada, is it a loophole for any sale? Say, I'm not selling you this.
Okay, but if you only sell his work, you don't own him all the time. You can't make him work on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things you can't make him do, right, as opposed to owning the guy.
Sorry, I thought all these rules were the Jewish sovereignty. It's
No. Even when we had sovereignty, yeah. Second base makers, we had sovereignty, but we had to listen to Rome.
Huh. Or Greek.
Or Greece, right? Dalet, mechara l'goy l'shloshim yom. Let's say he sold it to the goy for 30 days, and that's all. And 30 days later it comes back. So, or, mecharo chutz memolachto. He sells him, but not for any work. So you're wondering what for? For breeding purposes. He says, here, you bring your guy, he'll be a stud. He'll be a stud for my female slaves, whatever. Right? I'm sorry.
That's right.
Or he says, or chutz min hamitzvos. With the exception of not having to be nullified from mitzvah. I sold to you, but he gets to all his mitzvahs. Chutz min Shabbos Yom, you sold to you, but he can't make him wear a Shabbos Yom. In other words, all the problems we'd have by selling goy don't exist here. That's the point. So guess what? Gemara's not sure. Harei a suffik. It's a suffik if we force the guy to free him or not. Im nishtrach lo nishtracher. Therefore, we don't do anything. We go with chazakas. And therefore, we go with chazakas. What happens now? Im lefikah, therefore, im tovas eved kedei yomav. What if the servant steals from his master his value and sells it to the goy and gets free? Guess what? Larabo, Mayrabo, should say Mayrabo. He steals it from his master, because maybe the master would have had to pay anyway, right? So he steals it, so he can get free from the goy. We don't take it away from him. Because on the one hand, that if he would have had to pay him back, he would have had to pay him back. So we can't take any money from him. It's a subject. But if the servant did it, then indeed it holds. One more halacha to finish this little section over here. Hey, echad mocher avdol a goy avodah zar. It doesn't matter what kind of goy you sell him to. If he's a goy who is a real idol worshiper, oshimracha leger toshav, you sell him to a ger toshav who's a resident of Israel who follows the seven Noahide laws.
Right?
Afil akusi, even to akusi who is after they've been found to be the wrong, not Jews, right? Harezi Israel, he goes free. So it's not only an issue of idolatry, it's to a goy, because none of these goys have to keep Shabbos. None of these goys have to keep mitzvahs the way a woman would have to keep mitzvahs, as it were, and therefore he can't sell for that. Therefore he has to buy him back, and then he goes free. What if Mechar Yisrael Meshumad? What if he sells him to a goy who's a Meshumad? He's a Yid, but he doesn't keep any of the Torah. Now what? Harez a Suffolk. It's a doubt. So we can't force him to buy him back. But same thing. Lefika, therefore, im tofas kedei damav, if the servant grabs money from his master, Rishon, his first one, kedei losses by miyad meshumad, to pay off the meshumad owner that he has, emosim, you know, we can't remove it from him, because the same idea, there's no chazaka once he takes it away, and he could say, you really should have done it on that side of the suffix, and he gains from that. I think Elchanan's in the room next door. Do you want to check?
Maybe.
I think I saw him there.